In the name of Jesus, amen. So the law worked. God's law did exactly what it was supposed to do. It pricked the consciences of the king and the people. It reflected back to them their own wickedness so that they saw the evil that they were doing. Jonah preached the very words which God gave him to say, with the result that the people of Nineveh were cut to the heart. They were heartily sorry for their sins and sincerely repented of them. God had mercy, and he relented. And Jonah was really ticked off about it. The sermon which Jonah gave was this: "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now, it probably didn't take a lot of imagination on the part of the Ninevites to understand what that might mean. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah has forever been a very memorable one, and no one wants to be at the center of that kind of judgment. So man and beast donned sackcloth and fasted. Prayers and cries for mercy were directed to heaven, and they turned from their evil way. They didn't just give it lip service, but they actually repented. Contrition, faith, and good fruits, the entire scope of repentance, as the confessions call it. "Who knows," said the king of Nineveh, "God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." And he did. He inclined his ear and he answered them. He had mercy, just as the Ninevites had so uncertainly hoped for, and just as Jonah had feared. It was an astounding miracle, a bigger miracle even than the fish thing, said Luther. Normally, your kings and pharaohs tend to despise God's prophets and preachers, and sometimes they even kill them for merely suggesting that they have sinned. And you'd think that this was maybe why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place. After all, who wants to go into a hostile territory with an unpopular message about God's wrath, with a warning about destruction and hell? But it turns out that this wasn't Jonah's problem at all. He wasn't worried about getting beaten up. He was worried that they might actually listen and change. "I knew it," cried Jonah. "That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster." Jonah would rather die than see God's mercy directed toward Nineveh. It seems that Jonah didn't really think that they deserved mercy. It seems that Jonah didn't feel that they should be given another chance. It was clear to him that this hellhole of a city ought to just be obliterated off the map, bulldozed into oblivion, all of them, the people, the animals, the building, annihilated out of existence. Why should they deserve mercy? Nineveh was notorious for its wickedness. I'm sure that we don't have to think very hard to just imagine all the wicked things they were guilty of. Actually, we don't have to imagine at all, I'm sure. Rampant idolatry, widespread sexual immorality, dishonor of authority, false witness, coveting galore, all the same things that we're guilty of now. But it's easy to do that. It's easy to point out other people's sins to them. It's really easy to be the Pharisee muttering, "Thank God I'm not like him." It's easy to say that about that guy over there, that he sure spends too much time thinking about football, or she drinks too much, or he swears too much, or they flirt too much, or those people's children really misbehave a lot. He gossips a lot. They complain about money a lot. Oh, I know what they do behind closed doors. That's easy. Much harder is to see yourself clearly. Well, either it's harder or it's a lot less desirable, because who wants to see their own sin and filth? Who wants to look deep into their own heart and see all the things that you're so desperately trying to hide from public view? It was easy for Jonah to see the sins of Nineveh, and yet he failed to see that he himself was a sinner. Jonah was so busy plotting God's revenge that he was unable to recognize that he was the one guilty of unbelief. He was the one who rejoiced in God's alien work while trying to thwart the proper work of God. He was all into smiting and fire and brimstone, but he couldn't stand the idea of love and mercy, forgiveness and comfort. God loved the world. He didn't hate his creation, so he gave his only son to save it, not to destroy it. He seeks out the lost, even those that we've written off as unsavable. It's exactly as Jonah said, "I knew you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." This gracious and merciful God loves even you, who are sometimes self-righteous and angry. You who still lust and covet and rebel. He loved you enough to send his son Jesus Christ to the cross in your place. And he loves you enough now to keep you in the fold, to feed and nourish you with his word, to groom you for work in his church. He is perfectly merciful when you are not. He is perfectly forgiving when you are not. Thankfully, our salvation is not up to us. It is up to Jesus, one greater than Jonah, one whose very words can bring an entire population to its knees, whose very actions bring salvation, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Even the people of Nineveh, and even you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.